Well, today is a special morning in that we're going to have the opportunity to hear some great things that the Lord has been doing. But before we get to that, I wanted to take a moment to read from Scripture. I'll reference one and then I'll read from the other. In Luke chapter 9, we find an example of Jesus Christ sending out his 12 disciples with two purposes: proclaim the kingdom and perform healing. And they came back and reported to the Lord. And the Scripture says that the Lord took them off to the side. And so the report that they gave to the Lord was not really known in Scripture. But then the Lord sent out 70. So in Luke chapter 10, we find this Scripture. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from home, from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust from your city, which clings to the feet we wipe, often protests against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more terrible on that day for Sodom than for that city.'" And he goes on, and then in verse 17, the 70 return with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in that your names are recorded in heaven." At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, "I praise you, O Father, O Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight." What we have here is an example of the Lord's desire not to do it all himself. We have here an example of the Lord sending out people. And when he sent them out, you know the Scripture says that as he sent them out, he gave them authority over demons and principalities and the ability to preach the gospel and the ability to heal. So, did they go out on their own power? They went out under the Lord's anointing. But they had to go out. They had to go. And they went and put God to the test. They went out there and said, "Well, if the Lord truly blessed me with this, let me try it." And so they began preaching the gospel, healing the sick, casting out demons in his name. And what was the return? They came back rejoicing. Rejoicing. How many of us here would not rejoice if we went out, preached the gospel, and someone got saved? Would you not be happy about that? Hey! Better off if you get there and you find out, "Hey, it looks like there's a demon in here. In the name of Jesus, come out," and you liberate them. Oh, man. And the Scripture says that they came back rejoicing. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you the one that gets me is verse 21, where it says, at that very time, He, speaking of Jesus, greatly, He rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Now, when you think about that, it isn't this kind of a rejoicing. I'm happy for you. No, it's Jesus laughing. I saw Satan fall down from heaven while you guys went out to do this. Why? Because at that moment, He was telling and showing Satan that I'm bringing something into this world that's going to be more powerful than you, and I'm going to use something you despise, human beings. Watch. And He sent this out. So, this church has been active in sending out missions. And more important, we have been committed not only to the little children and the adults, but the teens. For you see, when you look at teens, I personally don't look at them as kids. I look at them as men and women. Young men and women. I look at them as the Timothys of the Bible. And we all treat them that way. With respect. And we ought not be afraid to send them out. Because what they have to say is important. So this morning, we got our own little version of sending out and coming back for reporting. And I want you guys to rejoice in what these reports are coming back, because this is the future, not only for Prague, but for this county, for this state, for this nation that's sitting right here among us. Amen. And with that, I'd like to introduce Camille and Todd Holt, who took the teens out to Mexico.
Hi. Before I even say anything, I'm going to turn it over to Micah, and I'm going to sneak off the stage really quick. Did you want to say something? Okay. Bye.
Ugh.
Sorry. I'm not a professional when it comes to electronics. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to present to you real quick, and then I'm going to let them take over. This is the team you sent out. Clap. I hope you enjoyed the skit. It was it wasn't something that we actually used as a ministry tool on our team, but our country used it in several different teams, especially on a night that all the teams came together to work together to minister to 200 people, and over 100 people got saved that night. So we wanted to bring it to you because it was short and sweet, and we thought you'd like it, so I hope you did. But we're going to start. If you can actually switch with Sarah. That'd be great. Sarah will be our first.
Okay. Many things happened to me, so many things I could not tell. Read Psalms 45, and it'll tell you that. But one story specifically touched my heart. It was the last night of of minister the last night of the missions all together. The next morning we were leaving, and there was one altar call for all of people that had on their hearts specifically missions, that they believed that part of their life or all their life was going to be spent in missions. So they went up to the front to get a special blessing from the speaker. And they said, if you know any of these people, go on up and pray for them. And there's one boy I knew from before, Josh, and so the Lord put it on my heart to pray for him. So I went up there, and I knelt down, and I prayed a specific prayer that I thought the Lord was saying to him, and then I let him, I stood back up, and I waited for more from the Lord. And the Lord told me, whispered to me, India. And I thought, Lord God, I'm not him, you know, I'm not you. I'm not supposed to tell him where he's supposed to go, if he's supposed to go to India or anything like that. But I obeyed the Lord. I went down there and I said, Josh, did God ever tell you that you're supposed to go to India? And he looked at me, he says, I don't know how you knew that, but the Lord told me that he wanted me to go to East Asia, especially India. So that was a confirmation to him, and it was a very strong message for him. I'm so glad that I was able to be used that way for him, for God.
When Camille said we had about a minute and a half each to share a testimony, it's like, how do you condense everything that God did into a minute and a half? So I could easily come up here and I could share with you guys the personal things that the Lord did with me while I was over there. And there were so many that it would really be hard to number them. But I want to share a real brief scripture with you. It's 1 Timothy 4:12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. The thing that I will never forget about this trip is watching these young people right here pour out their hearts in a way that every one of you can be proud of. They were an example of Christ to the people in Mexico. They led many people to him. They opened their hearts. They wept with the children. They played. And they walked up to people 2, 3, 4 times their age and poured out their hearts and led those people to Christ. And you can definitely be proud of these young people.
I don't know how many people of you have been to Nuevo Laredo, but the people there, period. I went there to give to the people. Instead, after I gave my gift, I was given to more than I had already given. The first time that I was supposed to go, after we did our first drama, Todd put me in front of him and said, talk. I had 3 full-grown men who were old enough to be my parents, and I'm like, Todd, I can't do this. And he said, they don't understand what you're saying right now. The interpreter's going to help you, and God's going to talk through you. I can't do this. This is not something that I'm willing to do. I'm not ready. And he said, then what are you doing here? And that got me thinking, well, why did I come here? I mean, God's going to work through me. So I stepped right up there, and I said, hola. And they all looked at me, are you... Okay, so I said, did you like the drama? And I said, yes, we did. We there was one part that we liked the most, when the blood, and the interpreter was looking at me for what I was going to say next, and I said, God help me. And then all 3 of those men accepted Christ, and that was something that impacted me majorly. So.
Well, there's normally in the rest of the story, but here's the precursor to that. We had already ministered to 5 or 6 guys the first time we went out, and we're walking by. And something in the training, they said, you know, each one of these people, each one of the nationals, you know, they need to be ministered to. And so we're walking by, and Micah goes, no, you can't not talk to these people. You cannot let these 3 guys go by. That's what we're here for. So, you know, she was the one that stated that we can't let these 3 people go. So that's the reason why I pushed her to.
When we were doing a certain drama in a park, We finished ministering, and then I walked up to this one kid. He was like 14 or 15. His name was Jeff, and he had like, I think he used to be in a gang, and he had a ton of people just waiting for him at like the edge of the park. And he had no idea what he did wrong, and he was sitting there like with bloodshot eyes, like he just gotten beat up, and he was just talking with me, and he accepted Christ that night. So before we left, I prayed for him, and when we got back to our back to where we were staying, I couldn't sleep for about 2 nights. I was just praying for him the whole time. And when we did a crusade together, like the whole country, that all the teams that went, they gathered in one place. And I just was praying for God, like that I would be able to see him and talk to him again. And right before we left, he walked up to me and like he just said, "Hey." I'm like, "How's it going?" He's like, "Well, I'm doing fine. Did you get home safe?" And I asked him if he got home safe that night, and he's like, "Yeah." Like, they started walking towards me, and then I don't know what happened. They just walked away. So.
Did you guys hear that he got saved? Did he say that? Okay.
Hi. There was one night that where we were staying, there's a balcony, and we were up there one night, and our leaders were praying for us. Well, when I was getting prayed for, I realized that I didn't know God like I wanted to. And that night, I went over and talked to my sister, and we prayed together. And after that, I was able to, like, go up to people and tell them about God and really, like, understand what I was saying and actually understood why I was there and the meaning of Christ and how wonderful it is to, like, go out and tell other people about God and knowing that they'll go to heaven one day and go out and tell other people about Him.
Hi. There was this one night, maybe like the first 3 nights, we went to a plaza or a park, one of those things. And there was this family eating dinner, and they were eating pizza. I didn't want to interrupt their dinner, you know, family time and everything. So I took a few minutes, and I was like, and God showed me to them to go up there no matter what, because they want to listen to you. And so I walked up there and I prayed to God and make sure to know what to say and how to say it. And then, while I was ministering to them, we were supposed to pray for their salvation. But I know how to pray, but I don't know how to pray for their salvation. And Genevieve helped me out in prayer, and then they accepted Christ. And so every time I eat pizza or every time I think about them, I pray to God that they would seek God every day in their heart. So.
One of the nights before we went to Mexico in Texas when we were having a session, it was during one of the speakers when they were talking. They said when we go down there, like, we have to have Christ, and, like, I didn't feel like I had Him and that I needed Him, so what I was telling the Nationals was real. And that night, He just touched me and told me that I'm just as good as anyone else, and I can do this.
One of the nights we went out to minister, and my ministry group got to minister to the little kids, and I met these three young kids. They were 6, 8, and 10, and my heart just opened up so much for those kids. And I prayed for them, and they just accepted Christ, and I couldn't leave them. I stood there for at least 20 minutes crying for them, and God's just given me a big heart for kids, and I stood there, and another night, I met those kids again, and they gave me stuffed animals, they gave me roses, and God has something in store for them, and I don't know what, but I planted a seed, and
I just want to see that seed grow.
Well, you've already heard about the crusade where our whole country got together. It was just amazing. Like I said, there was 100 people saved that night. It was also great to finally see our drama. But we had a big turnout. All the people rushing up for the altar call. And it probably was the best night the night for the drama that we had the whole trip.
It's amazing. These teens here, and even the teens that are sitting out there, they did an amazing, amazing work. God just, they submitted themselves before God, and that was one of the neatest things to see, is that they submitted themselves before God, and they were listening to His voice, and they were obedient to do God's will. Like I said, the first night that we were there, we're in the plaza, and we did our drama, and we were supposed to go out in our ministry teams, and we went to the first bunch of people, and they were, they just wanted to get money and stuff. And so we went on, and like I said, I walked past these three gentlemen, and Micah's like, "No, what are you doing?" I was like, "Well, let's find someone else." She goes, "No." She says, we cannot let them, we just can't go and not share the gospel with them. And right then and there, I was like, wow, okay, you're right. Who am I? God says that none, He doesn't want any to perish. And she had taken hold of that wholeheartedly. And so we stopped and we prayed and ministered, and she did it. She brought three people to Christ, right there within our first half hour. And that was one of the coolest things to see. But to see each and every one of these young people step up and minister, and each and every one of these young people brought someone to Christ. And one of the neat things is about the organization that we went with was Teen Mania, is that we weren't there to just for numbers, to save souls for numbers. We were there to not only get them into the kingdom, but there is follow-up. We wanted to make sure that they understood the commitment that they were making, that they were making a commitment to Christ. So each and every one of these young people up here, they took the time. I mean, they took 20 minutes, a half hour, talking to three or four or five people to make sure that, you're not just saying a prayer and then, we're leaving it at that. They made sure that they understood what they were saying. They made sure that, they repeated everything that they said back and that they understood. So it wasn't just we're going out there to get numbers and know we're going to have, 4,500 people saved. No, this was really about making a real commitment to God and to Christ. And they did it. And I am just so happy. I've already told them that I'm proud of them. Each, every one of them has a special and unique gift. So I just, when you guys find the time, talk to each and every one of them. And if they say, yeah, it was cool, pull from them. Pull, what did you guys do at this plaza, or what was, Nuevo Laredo like, or pull from them, because they're going to give you this, yeah, okay, sure, right, cool, it was awesome, it was neat. Stand and talk to them and really pull from them, and you'll see their heart, you'll hear their heart. Each and every one of them has a unique, unique story, and I'm just really, really proud of them, and I'm really proud that they did an awesome job. And I just want to thank you as a congregation for sending us out. Each and every one of them are changed. I think the bar has been raised to a newer level, and they're just awesome. And I just want to give God the glory and praise for that.
Yeah, you guys are going to go out and distribute those cards. If you guys can go out and distribute those cards. Hey. I don't know if you guys like little tokens of appreciation, but they have one for you. So if you can help them give those out, that'd be great. I hope you realize that this was just a little tiny drizzle of what happened when we were down there. Some of us were gone for 3 weeks. Some of us were gone for 2 weeks. And, we kept it very brief. And I hope that intrigues you to go ahead, like Todd said, and seek some more. We were told specifically the last night we were in Texas, before we headed back here, that we did not want to fire hose any of you with so much information and testimonies and just drown you out. So we're just here to just kind of hopefully spark your interest in what happened down in Nuevo Laredo. But I'm here to say a couple of things to you, and I realized as everybody was talking that I missed an opportunity to explain to you what exactly we did down there, so I'm going to take time to do that right this second. They were talking about a drama. When we went to training in Texas for 4 days, we learned a drama called The Journeyman. And just a very brief explanation of it is it's a man who's going through the cycles of life, and all of you know what those are, you know, eating, sleeping, working, day in and day out. And he breaks free, and he's looking for some answers. And the answers that he's looking for is, who made me and why am I here? And he goes through all the things of life that you all know, pleasure and greed and science and all the things that you would, you know, possibly look for in the answers. You look for answers in those places. And he couldn't, of course, find them. And at one point, he was so greedy that he did kill someone, and obviously he committed a sin, and his hands were stained in the way it was, you know, depicted. It was a mime with music and words in the background that were in Spanish, but his hands were stained, and he asked everyone to help take the stains off his hands, and of course no one could. And then there was a person who came in every few scenes or after every scene, and that person was the Miracle Man. And at the end, the Miracle Man took his place, died for him on the cross, and rose again and was able to remove the stains. And that's the message that we displayed to the people of Nuevo Laredo, and it was just a really heartfelt, touching message that they really were able to understand. It was in their language and was graphic enough for them to really see the message. And everyone had a part in that, in this group, together with a team that we met with in Ohio, from Ohio, that worked with us. But what I really came up here to tell you, other than that's how we ministered, was, any of you remember the $21,000 that we needed to raise? Let me tell you just a little bit about how we got that. It was impossible in our eyes, and maybe your eyes too, to think $21,000, 12 of us, how? No money. But God in the past had provided up to $12,000 for us, and he allowed us to go, so we trusted him again. So little by little, through your contributions, tithes, offerings, special fundraisers that we took, that we did, other things we did out in the community, a lot of stress, a lot of hard work, but we didn't need to have the stress because God had it all under control. I believe that the total that came back after, let me say that there were some discounts that we were not expecting from Teen Mania. I think we got a total of almost $3,000 discounted from our total trip, which helped reduce the bar. And then with all of your offerings and everything, we were about 9,000 short at our 50% deadline day, and that was in March, May 15th, excuse me. And we had to have all the money in by June 15th, or most of it in by June 15th, and we were 5,000 short at that time, 5,000 or 6,000. But 2-3 weeks before we actually headed down there, God provided every last penny, and more money was coming in after that. So I just, and that was you guys. Every single one of you, whether in prayer or an actual contribution or an actual helping in one of our fundraisers or participating in one of them, you were the ones who were preaching to the three. You were the ones who were leading the children to Christ. You were the ones who were doing the heart skit, or you were the ones who were doing the journeyman, because you contributed to the lives that you sent, and each one of them is what is a result of what you guys did. So don't feel like you didn't go to Nuevo Laredo, because you did. Your hands and your feet went to Nuevo Laredo and did the work of God, because we were willing to go out for you and you were willing to send us. And I just thank you for that.
Oh. so proud of them or what? Look at that. Now, these are the same ones that say, I can't. I'm too young. No one's going to listen to me. I'm just a kid. Or if I start with that mess, people think I'm not cool anymore. 1,081 lives were changed in the time that they were there. Now, just one life. Some of you supported with helping with the fundraisers. Some of you helped out getting them down there in other means. Some of you did a little bit of everything, providing funds to get them down there. How much is one life worth to turn them from a certainty of spending an eternity in a place called hell versus eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ? Your $1 contribution saved a life. Your $50 contribution saved a life. Your $5,000 contribution saved a life, but a life was saved. And it isn't just the 1,081. We're talking about generations to come. Prague is making an impact globally, not just locally. Those three kids that you led to the Lord, you know, I believe you're going to see their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, a multitude, that someday in the future the Lord will count them to your account for your faithfulness to Him. And you guys get credit too. Just by being part of Prague, you get credit, whether you like it or not. Because there are a lot of stuff that goes on in Prague, a lot of efforts that go out together as a community of Prague, which you guys are a part of and don't even know about it. And someday, when you stand before the Lord, He's going to look at you and say, you get credit for that too, for just being part of Prague. Now, these guys went out, and when they went out, Micah, I appreciate your honesty when you say you went out there and got more than what you gave out. But you know, she received something special. They all did. They received a special anointing of boldness to proclaim the gospel and see people get saved. How many of us here wouldn't like even a small portion of that? A small portion. Just, Lord, all I'm asking is for a little portion of what they have, so that I can make an impact in my community, that I can make an impact in this county, in this state, in this country. All we ask is for a drop of what they have, or maybe a small portion. This morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive what they got. And you see, and the reason we do this is because if they simply keep or hide what they got, it dies. On the other hand, if they give it away, the Lord doesn't leave him void. He fills him up again, even with more. And so you get an opportunity to receive a portion of what they got. And they, in return, get to receive more from the Lord. And we get to see more of this stuff come through. 1,800 lives that are actually going to impact generations to come. People we never met. People we didn't know. We're going to be up in heaven. And people are going to come up to us and say, thank you, Jerry. Thank you. And you're going to go, who are you? Oh, you helped me get here. I never knew you. I know, but it was that support you gave. Generations. Now, we also have, and these guys are going to pray for you, but I got a couple of special people here with us that I want to pray for separately. Mr. Baker, who's going back to his Army Academy at West Point. So we want to pray for him. Why don't you come up here and you guys will tackle him and get some prayer on him. And we got another young guy over here. Yeah, you. You, the young one. Come up here. It's a special guy here for us. Yeah, come here. My little friend's gone to Indiana for a season, so he won't be with us. So we want to make some of the kids that are still here, we'll get a chance to pray and send them away. And he'll come back to visit. Right? He'll be back to visit. Thank you, Grandma. I get to say that to Terry, Grandma. I love it. Grandma. So we're going to pray for him. But let's go ahead and stand, and we'll close, and we're going to make an invitation. You guys come down here and join me. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to receive a touch from God, a fresh anointing, a boldness that you've longed for, needed, want and desire, and it's here for you this morning. So we're going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come up and let these teams pray for you and give you a special blessing. Okay? And then you gather some of the kids, and we'll pray for this little guy on the way out. Okay? And these guys are going to take care of you. Anybody else tied up with Mr. Baker here, feel free to come up here and swarm on him and love on him and make him feel like he doesn't want to leave, but he's got to. The Army wants him. Navy, I'm sorry. Can you tell where I come from? Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we also rejoice in what you've done. You've turned children into men and women. You've given them a task, and you set them forth, and you sent them out, Father. And you sent them out with the purpose that they preach the gospel. And Father, your anointing has fallen upon them, your spirit with wisdom. And they went out there and they preached the gospel. And lo and behold, to their surprise, people wanted to get saved. And people did get saved. 1,081 souls got saved that we know of, Father. But in your account book, there are hundreds of thousands that are going to be accounted for that. I thank you, Lord. I bless your holy name that you've given us the opportunity to send out, to receive, and to send out your word and preach your gospel to the nations, Father. I thank you for that opportunity. If you guys need a touch, I want you to just come on up here. Let the teams pray for you. Don't be shy. Come on up here. Here we go. There we go. There we go. Don't be shy. Hey, listen. A little touch from God will do wonders. You'll go back to your workspaces and find the Spirit of God falling upon you and preaching the gospel in boldness. And next thing you know, people are getting saved. And that's a good thing. Okay. Good deal. Come on up. Find a teen or a group of teens. Amen. Hey. How you doing? Thanks. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Now, some of you here attached to my little friend over here, feel free to come up. We're going to pray for him right here. We're probably going to take a spot over here a little further up front. And we got Mr. Baker over here. We want to hug and love on him, army or no army. All right. Yeah. And for the rest, I want to thank you for being here. If you would keep your conversations into the lobby, I'd appreciate it so we can go into ministry. I thank you. God bless.